church, but you can talk, okay? Anybody have any questions at all that you would like to? Yes. The main language is Spanish, and so we are blessed. I was raised there since 9 months old to 17 years old, so Spanish is my first language, and my wife was born and raised there, so she does very well with that. And she's also doing very well with English, so we praise the Lord for that. So, yes, Joan. Well, now, funny story, we were looking for another house to move into because of Nadia has allergies and stuff like that, so all the other houses were very humid and stuff like that. So one came on the market right before we left. So literally, we moved 2 days before we left. We dumped all our stuff in the house and we locked it up and we left. So big surprises are waiting for us when we get back. All right? And that's about 5 minutes, 10 minutes away from the church. So before, we were literally like 2 blocks down the church in the same street. So every time, like, they wanted to see if I was home, they would look and see if the gator was parked outside, then they knew I was home. So, but now they can do that. So, anybody else? Bye. Yeah. Not right now, but especially like financially, because of anytime you do airtime on the radio or TV, things get very expensive. But you know, just like the Lord opened it up before, He can open it up again if He wants. So we're open to that as well. Yes, ma'am. Well, we do have a small Bible Institute that we are we can try to pull people from there. We also have several Bible Institutes in the country of Chile, where we have our biggest ministries are there, and there's always pastors that are looking for a place to minister, so that could be a good option for us as well. So just pray that the Lord would guide us to the right person, and that the Lord would help the church understand that, you know, they need to step up to the plate as far as financially and otherwise. So our philosophy has always been that we are not going to start a ministry in our church unless the church can keep it up if we're gone, okay? Because we don't want anything to be a burden for them, and we want them to be self-supportive. Okay. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. We do, as a matter of fact, some of the people that are coming is because of the we posted on the website and stuff like that. So today is, you know, the internet becomes a necessity, you know, and so we try to do a good job of trying to keep our website updated and everything else like that. But we're also very cautious on what we put there and who has access to posting things and who doesn't. Yes, sir. You know what? We do not, because the nearest prison for us is probably about an hour away. But, you know, when I was in Northland, we always did prison ministry. So that's something that, you know, I really appreciate, and I know the value of it. So if we ever get a chance to do that, it's something that it's always on my heart. So. Anybody else? Yes. Yeah, they come from our supporting churches, whether it's Pastor Mariano and his supporting churches here in the States or our supporting churches. So usually the way it works is that people, you know, they see like this video, or they ask, they write and ask, you know, if we have any needs or whatever. So we tell them, look, you know, right now we're looking to lay some more tile down. outside in the corridor. We are building a new bathroom and a new Sunday school room. And so some people will say, well, you know what, I got like four or five construction guys that would like to do that. And so the way it works is they usually pay for the tickets, and they usually bring money for the project and stuff like that. And then we host them at our house, and they're there usually for about 10 days or so. And that way, it's a big boost for us because, you know, when people, they're contractors, they know what they're doing. So if they're there like, you know, 10 days, they could really help us out in many different ways. And it's something that it would probably take us like months to do otherwise, and much more expensive if we had to hire it out. So, okay. Anybody else? Yes. I get around. I have a John Deere Gator. It's like a golf cart, quote unquote. It's a man's car. All right. So it has a little bed in the back, so I carry stuff there. But I also carry my walker there, so if I need to go somewhere, I can get out and I can pull the walker out and I can do that or whatever. But sometimes also with people there, once they get to know me, if I have to, you know, they have a mom and pop grocery stores and other things like that. And so if I need something, I'll usually like, you know, once I get to know them, I said, look, is it okay if I come over and I honk the horn at you and you can come out? And so they're like, oh, yeah, no problem. So usually that's the way I do it and stuff like that. And it saves me time and grief getting up and down and around. So. But the Lord always provides a way to do it. So. All right, anybody else? All right, well, thank you so much for your prayers and your questions. And, you know, and don't ever hesitate if you have a question, concern, if you would like to bring a group down, whatever, you know, just contact us. And, you know, we'll make sure that we can make it happen for you, okay? And, don't forget to grab one of our prayer cards that's in the table in the lobby there. It's a magnet, so you can put it on the fridge. As you go to the fridge many times a day, you can remember to pray for us, okay? So that's why we did it that way, and that way it's a little more practical for all of us, okay? All right, why don't we begin with a word of prayer? Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for everything that you do for us. We thank you for everybody that has been able to come tonight. We pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to whatever we need to hear tonight from your word. Help us to be open and receptive and responsive to what you would have to say to us. Bless us and guide us in everything that we do. May it be honor and glorifying to thee. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, tonight we're going to be talking about a very familiar passage of scripture, Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, okay? Talking about the power of the Word of God and really focusing it on as a witnessing tool for us, you know? How many of us have multiple copies of the Word of God in our household, okay? Whether it be electronically, through the phone, the tablet, or whatever, okay? But the key question is, what are you doing with it, okay? Some people may use it as a doorstop, unfortunately, okay? Some people prop their bed up with it. Hopefully you're not the case, okay? But the question is, are we really using the Word of God for what it is intended for us to use it? Because you could have 20 copies, but if you don't open it, you know, the Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. But if you don't open it, the lamp is off, okay? And it doesn't work for us. And so we need to be very mindful that just because we have access to a very specific tool that God has given to us, if we don't use it, it loses its effectiveness and its power. And so the book of Hebrews is written to Jewish believers who were being tempted to turn back to Judaism. We also see them in the wilderness. And some of them, they were failing to enter into God's rest because of unbelief. And so it's a very crucial time for them. So the warning is clear. Hearing the word of God is not enough. We must have faith and we must believe in the God of the word. Okay? Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. You know? And so, do you have faith? And do you have faith in the right person? The person of Jesus Christ? You know, a lot of people say, well, I believe in myself. Well, don't ever trust in yourself. Okay? And so, the Bible is very clear that we need to have faith in Christ and Christ alone. And so, true faith is believing that God is still good, even when life doesn't make sense, when things don't go my way, and when I don't understand why God is allowing this trial or this circumstance in my life. God is still present in the waiting. He's still present in the suffering, and knowing that He is still holding me while I'm going through it all. Okay? So, God is helping us in every sense of the way. And the Bible is also very clear. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing comes by what? By the Word of God. So the Word of God is extremely important for us, and we need to understand that. People must respond in faith and in obedience as well. But James warns us, and he says, but be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You know, so many times we know exactly what we need to do. We know exactly what God wants us to do. And yet, we do totally the opposite. You know, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is what? Sin. Okay? So many times we know exactly what God wants. But we choose deliberately to disobey God. And we all know that it didn't work out for Jonah exactly when he did that, right? Well, it's not going to work for us if we do that as well. And so, but we also need to understand, Isaiah says in Isaiah 55, 6, and 7, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is still near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he shall have mercy upon him, and to our God he will abundantly pardon. And so, seek the Lord while he may be found. There's going to be a time that you're not going to be able to look for him because it's going to be too late. And so we need to take advantage of each and opportunity that we do have. And so now we get to our text, and very familiar passage of scripture. For the word of God is quick and is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even unto the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him unto whom we have to do or we have to give an account. And so we need to understand that there are several characteristics of the Word of God that explain why it is so powerful. And it says, and it begins with an important word, for or because the Word of God. The Word of God reveals our human condition before God, to whom someday we're going to have to give an account. So many people think, for example, have you heard the phrase, you know, it's my body and I can do what I want, okay? Well, that's not what the Bible teaches me, okay? We are administrators of what God is giving to us, and that is, you know, we are administrators of the body that God has given to us, and we need to take care of it. And so it is the, you know, it's where the Holy Spirit is, and so we need to take good care of it. And so the Word of God, you know, we need to preach the whole counsel of God. You know, so many times, people today, especially in our churches, unfortunately, they don't want to preach about sin because it's unpopular. Nobody wants to be called a sinner. Sorry, that's what we are, okay? you can either be, you know, you can be a forgiven sinner, if that's what you choose to do, but we are sinners. And so we need to talk about sin because that's what we need to get away from. That's what we need to understand what the Bible teaches, and so that we can choose to do otherwise so we can please God. And so and the Bible also is very clear that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And so God is the author of it. It's essential for me to understand. The question for me is, can I live without the Word of God as a Christian? Okay? Because if I were to ask you today, can you live without, you know, several meals a day? Well, looking at you or me, maybe we can do without a couple of them. Okay? But as we go along life, we cannot go away, and spiritually speaking, we should not be able to live without the Word of God in our lives. And if you can live without the Word of God for a day, a week, a month, it just means that there's something really wrong with you. Okay? There's some real sin that you need to take care of in your life if you're able to go without being in contact with God for several days or weeks or months, okay? And so we need to understand that. And then it describes the Word of God is living. That means that the Word of God is alive. The question is, are you alive when you're reading the Word of God? Because, you know, maybe you choose to do it in the morning where you're barely awake, and you're just going through the motions. I just need to get through this chapter, okay? Because the pastor's going to ask me or whatever, and then I can say, oh, I did it. But the point of it is that when we are in contact with the Word of God, we should be able to know what it says. We should be in a position that God can speak to us, and we can understand it, and we can apply it to our lives. And so the Bible is living truth. It carries divine life. It continuously works in the heart of people. Every time you hear the Word of God, there's something happening, whether we know it or not. And another fact is that we need to understand that every time we read or we hear the Word of God preached, as a Christian, the author of the Word of God is sitting right next to us. Maybe you didn't think about that. But when you think about it, the Holy Spirit is right next to us. He lives in us. He dwells in us. And so he's also working in us, and he's going to be asking you, what are you going to do with what you just heard? You know, because most of the time we're thinking about, oh, this is great for Billy. If he was here, he could really apply this to his life. Well, it's good for you too, okay? And so we need to understand that. And the Bible says that the Word of God never returns void. So God is always trying to do something, and the way he does it is by us hearing the Word of God and reading the Word of God. While the books, you know, may be outdated, the Word of God never loses its power. And isn't that great? And no other book can do that, okay? There's no other book that can speak to you and can speak to me the way the Word of God does. Why? Because God is the author of the book, and God knows us intimately. He knows everything about us. The Bible says that he knows how many hairs we do have. For some of us, that's not that difficult, is it, John? Okay? But for others, you know, it's, you know, it could be more challenging. But God knows every detail about me and about you. And so every time he uses the Word of God, and we can read the same passage several different times in our lives, and it speaks to us differently depending on what is going on in our lives. It's alive. It's not dead. God through the Holy Spirit speaks to me through his book. He promises to supply all my needs, and he does. He didn't promise to supply all my wants because he knew better, because I always want more, okay? But he also promises to supply all my needs. And he's been very faithful, and he's been doing that ever since. And every time you open this book, you need to understand that he's going to speak to us. You know, and then, you know, let's turn to Psalm chapter 19, verses 7 through 11. You know, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise and simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, than much fine gold, sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and keeping them there is great reward. And so this tells me that the word of God is perfect. I don't need to add anything to it. I don't need to subtract anything from it. It converts the soul from being a lost sinner going to the pit of hell to being a forgiven sinner who is now a child of God. It restores the soul. God restores my soul. You know, they say confession is good for the soul, but the Bible tells us if we confess our sins, he is faithful. He is just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Bible makes it clear that he makes us wise regardless of our education. He makes us capable of making good decisions and giving us biblical discernment to walk in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. The Bible is always going to teach us how to do right and how to experience the joy of the Lord in our lives. Are you experiencing the joy of the Lord in your life today? The Bible tells us that God's motives are always pure. He doesn't have a hidden agenda. We do most of the time, but God doesn't. And so his word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Is he guiding you where you need to go? And are you obeying that? Do we have a holy reverence for God's word? And if we do, it should cause us to confess our sins and to be right with God and to confess our sins with one another as well, so that God can do what he needs to do in our lives. He will preserve his word, and he won't allow anybody to destroy it. Many have tried over the years to get rid of the word of God, but God will always preserve his word. And any issue that the Bible addresses, it addresses with 100% confidence that it is true. So anything that the Bible says, you can be sure that it is true and that it's 100% reliable because it is the truth of God. And so it is impossible to calculate the value of the Word of God. Are you hungry and are you thirsty for the Word of God? The Bible says that the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. Do we have that thirst and that hunger for the Word of God? We should, but so often we don't. If you think about the fact of when you first trusted the Lord as your personal Savior, man, we were excited. Everything was brand new. We, you know, we couldn't stop talking about it to other people. What about now, 20 years later, 30 years later? Do we still have the same excitement about the Word of God? We should. The power of the Word of God, when you put your faith and trust in Christ, it should change what you believe. It should change the way you live. We need to understand Christianity is not an event, okay? It is a way of life. You're not a Christian Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night only. If you're a child of God, you're a child of God each and every day. And so that needs to mean something. It needs to show in the way we live and the way we believe. And the way we act, when people look at the way we live, do they see a difference? the way I speak, the way I think. The Bible says that now I am a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. I have been bought with a price. I should live now to please God, not out of duty, but out of love and appreciation for what he has already done for me by dying on the cross. Even though I didn't deserve it, he loved me enough to do that for us. And so it is in that context that we understand why the Word of God is so quick and so powerful, so alive in our lives. And so, you know, if sinners are to be saved, they must encounter the power of the Word of God. And so Jesus, God wrote it, Jesus lived it, and the Holy Spirit is the one that convicts us of sin, justice, and judgment. So the Word of God has the power to show a person their sin, their lost condition, and their need for Christ. The power of the Word of God, it convicts sinners, it breaks hardened hearts. Nothing else can do that. It produces faith, and it leads to salvation. Many people think that they can come to Christ through religious rituals, for being a good person, through emotional experiences. Some even think that you can come by being a church member. But the Bible teaches that salvation comes through hearing and believing the gospel message. The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, you know. In the ancient world, they had different kinds of weapons. We heard about that this morning, okay? Now we're all fancy. We're into drones and missiles and launchers for rockets and everything else. But in that era, they had very limited weaponry, and one of those was a two-edged sword, so it could slice you coming or going. And so, what does that mean? Well, it means that the Bible can cut through many things. It can cut through excuses. It can cut through laziness. It can cut through your pride. It can cut through anger, through bitterness, through disappointments. It can cut through deception and lies. It can cut through a callous and a broken or a hard heart. And so we need to understand that because God knows us intimately and he knows everything about us, he's going to do it in such a way that he is going to expose us for exactly who we are. And so on the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, verse 37, it says they were pricked in their hearts. And the question is, when you hear the Word of God preached and the Holy Spirit pricks your heart, what do we do with that? Do we act upon it, or do we try to suppress it, and maybe we'll deal with it later, so we say. The Word of God is quick and it's powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. It pierces into the deepest parts of man. It pierces through and it reaches places that, you know, psychology cannot reach, philosophy cannot reach, or human reasoning cannot reach. It penetrates the uttermost parts of a person. The phrase "the joints and marrow" represents the deepest physical parts of our body, while the soul and spirit reflect the deepest parts spiritually speaking. And so, you know, God's Word reaches both the outward life and the inward soul. And so this is why many people feel uncomfortable when the Bible is preached, because it exposes things that are hidden deep in our heart. It says the Word of God is powerful, discerning the thoughts and intents of the heart. I always said and wondered that if God would have designed us, that we could have a little screen over here in our forehead that would show the person that's in front of us what we are thinking. That would be kind of cool. But it would be kind of scary too, okay? Because we're pretty hypocritical, okay? Tell me if you haven't done this, okay? But yeah, maybe I'm the only one, right? So So you look at somebody and go, hey man, it's great to see you. Okay, but we're thinking, man, I hate your guts. You know, something like that, okay? But that's how we are. But the Bible says that he knows the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know, you could be here. The question is, why are you here? Okay? Are you hoping that I tell Pastor Schlegel you're here? Do I want to take a picture and see who's here? No. Okay? But you know what? I hope you're here for the right reason. I hope you're here because you want to know more about the Word of God and grow in your faith and walk with the Lord. And so it reaches into the deepest cubby holes of our being. We often say, I know myself. I know what's going to happen. And so, but the Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? No doctor can prescribe a pill that can fix your spiritual problems. Okay? And that's the truth. Okay? Only the Word of God can fix what is wrong in your soul. And we need to be very much aware of that. And the Bible tells us in Jeremiah 17:10, I, the Lord, search the heart. And so he's the one that does the work in our hearts. And so, you know, verses 12 and 13, you know, it tells us that God sees everything. God is omnipresent. He's present everywhere. He sees everything. He knows everything. He's omniscient. And God is the one who judges all things. We cannot deceive or we cannot fool God. And so the Bible is like a mirror that exposes us. We are naked, exposed before him, and we cannot hide from that. And so, and it tells us also as we are exposed, you know, what are the areas that am I disobeying God? Because many times God shows us what we need to change, but we do not. And so the question for us is, do you love God today? And everybody would say, oh, yes, man, I love God. Oh, yeah? Well, let me ask you something. If you love God, why are we obeying his commandments? What do you mean? Well, the Bible says, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. So if you're disobeying God, it means that you don't love God the way you think you do. And so and then John 13:35 says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. Now when people look at you and look at us as a church, have they seen people that love each other? Or people that, man, if these guys are Christians, I don't want anything to do with that. Okay, I hope that's not the case with us. And so, you know, and if we love God, why do we doubt God? Okay, think about it. When we have problems in our life, most of us, the first thing that we do, we go to somebody who's going to tell us what we want to hear. Okay? We don't go to the Word of God. We go to somebody who's going to say, oh, you're going to be okay, man. Everything's going to be okay. You know? But we don't go to the Word of God. And after we make a mess of it, then we go, oh, God, please save me. Help me. Okay? So we do everything backwards. So we need to love God not only intellectually with our mind, but we need to love him with our heart, with our soul, with our mind. We need to experience who God is, you know, just like David this morning had experienced God for who he was and what he had done in his life, and that's why he could face a giant like Goliath. Well, you need to experience God in such a way that next time problems come your way, you know what God's going to do. You know that we are more than conquerors. We know that we are already victorious and we don't need to fear what's going to happen. So some practical applications for us. We must read the Word of God daily. Not only read it, but we need to study it. We need to meditate upon it. We need to memorize it. Okay? It's not just about academic reading. It's about experience God through the study of the Word of God. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so your pastor, your missionary is not going to be there with you every time something happens to you. And so what are you going to do when somebody asks you something? You're going to be like, I don't know. Well, it's okay if you don't know. But you know what? Leave it in such a way they go, you know what? I don't know, but I'll find out and I'll get back to you on that. And that'll give you another opportunity to talk to somebody about the Lord as well. And so we, as a church, we need to preach the word of God, not only with our lips, but with our lives. And so it's not about having programs to entertain us. We need to preach the whole counsel of God. And as we preach the word of God faithfully, lives will be changed and lives will be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then as we share the truth of the gospel, we need to understand that we don't need to get into arguments. We don't need to give our opinions. We only need to share Christ and what he has done for us in our lives and what the Word of God says. And so that's how the Word of God is going to penetrate the soul of somebody, and they're going to realize that they need a Savior. And so we must respond to the Word of God. Hearing is not enough. We must respond with a clean heart and a clean conscience. There should be nothing between my soul and the Savior. Is there anything between your soul and the Savior today? Maybe God is trying to do something in your life or in my life, but he can't do it because there's a sin that we're holding on to that we are not willing to give over to God. So in conclusion, you know, the Word of God reminds us that it is living, it is powerful, it is sharp, it is penetrating, and it is discerning. So I hopefully that is what the Word of God is doing in your life this evening. And if it's not doing that, well, maybe you can talk to the Lord in prayer and you can make sure that the Word of God becomes an absolute priority in your life and mine. Why don't we finish in a word of prayer? Father, we thank you for your word this evening. We thank you for its power, and we ask you that we would use it correctly in our lives, that you would help us to study it, to meditate upon it, to memorize it, and help us to share it with others so that they can know that they too can have a personal relationship with God. So guide us in everything that we do. Give us opportunity this week to tell others about Christ, and help us to use the Word of God to guide every area of our life. And we ask you all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.